Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
JP Cakes, Bish, and EB, and joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is Chris Russell, Capitals insider for 106.7 The Fan. He's presented by Dominion Jewelers. Custom engagement rings and jewelry in the heart of Falls Church. They make it beautiful. You make it yours. DominionJewelers.com. What was Chris Russell doing at the moment Cousy scores the game winner?
I almost threw my laptop. I'm working. I'm trying to feverishly, ridiculously, stupidly take notes, fellas, on everything that's going on. And that's it's almost a futile cause in overtime playoff hockey because, as you know, you can hardly keep up with the puck.
Right.
Even if you're dead, like locked in watching it, it's just such, back and forth. But I'm sitting there trying, and all of a sudden I see the break. And I've seen this before in this series, and I know immediately, as soon as I see Kuznetsov streaking up the ice, I know it's good because I've seen it again before. The Penguins have not been able to stop the Capitals up the middle of the ice on these breaks. And then I lose sight of the puck because the stick, somebody throws their stick or there was a broken stick that goes kind of flying past Matt Murray. So I wasn't sure if it was in. And then all of a sudden I hear Doc Emmerich screaming that it was in. And I'm like, like a little schoolgirl. I didn't grow up here, but I've been watching the Capitals long before I moved here. And, much like you guys who did grow up here, and I know you were talking about how I think it was Cakes that mentioned, about going on this, great potential run during one of the breaks and whatever. I mean, I've been watching the Caps for so long. I mean, I was nearly in tears, man, nearly in tears of joy. Just so happy that, the fans finally got rewarded. Ovechkin finally got rewarded. And, selfishly for me that, as a dad of a kid with Down syndrome, Barry Trotz, dad of a kid with Down syndrome, that he finally got rewarded after so many years too.
And Rooster, I felt really good for Cousy to pot the game winner because he had so many opportunities in this game to get on the scoring sheet. He had the seemingly wide open net with Murray sprawled on the ice. He fanned on a 2-on-1, which is a good opportunity. So for him to be vindicated to get the game winning goal, I thought was justice for the Caps.
No doubt. And he had not only that opportunity, Cakes, but he also had that first opportunity off the Crosby turnover from behind his goal line where Crosby basically just gave it to, I forget who he gave it to, and the pucks just squirted right out to Kuznetsov, who was off on an angle from the high slot. He wasn't directly in the high slot, and he fired one so badly, so wide of Murray earlier before that missed opportunity that you're talking about. So there was not one but two, and I was on with Craig and Nick last night in between the intermissions, and I was killing Cousy because I was like, look, they're outplaying the Penguins. All they have to do is hit the damn net. Shoot the puck, number one, but hit the net when you get these golden opportunities. I said Kuznetsov's better than this. He was dominant in the third period offensively and defensively on Saturday night. That's the Kuznetsov they needed. Took a little bit longer than I'm sure the Capitals would have liked, but man. And I was just watching the replay before I came on with you guys. I forgot about this. Lost in all the hoopla. As the Penguins carry the puck up the ice, Crosby gets it, and right as he gets it, who pokes it away from him?
Who's he?
On his back. Kuznetsov. I mean, unbelievable, right? I mean, this is the stuff of kind of, I don't want to get ridiculous here, stuff of legends.
Chris, talk about how the defense has played so much better the last few weeks. It was kind of the weak link all season long. They added a couple guys, but not big names. Right. Towards the end of the season, but the defense really seems to be gelling, and obviously Holtby in the net.
No, you're right, Jim. I mean, Kempney, 5 block shots last night to lead the way. I think they had, 15 block shots. Double check that in a sec, but Kempney had 5 of them, 33%, whatever the number is. you know, Orpik is still a little bit of a weak link, but he's a leader, and he's a still physical guy. John Carlson has been amazing offensively, but he's been much more responsible defensively. Matt Niskanen took a bad penalty the other night, but he is still a very good all-around defenseman and finally beat his former team, as did Orpik. Dmitry Orlov, I can't tell you guys the difference from 2 years ago where he was all offense, and you could see the light bulb on that way, but Barry couldn't trust him so much that he couldn't play in that six-round elimination in Pittsburgh. He just had to bench him because he couldn't trust him, much like, you know, Verana in game two of the Columbus. It just could not trust him. So, you know, you see the metamorphosis of this group. And Kempney has been such a great addition, as I mentioned, 5 block shots last night, guys. And then, you know, look, they kept a lot of things clear of Holtby all series long. And I know Pierre talked about this. I think Milbury mentioned it a couple of times. A lot of times they kept things clear of Holtby so he could see. The one goal that they allowed was a deflection off of Chandler Stephenson's stick. That was even a clear shot and a clear angle. I mean, outside of Stephenson partially obstructing Holtby, nobody was in front. Nobody was parked in front, which was a problem all series long, that the Penguins were able to get a body in front of Holtby, and something I'd been imploring the Caps to do. The Caps did it much more than the Penguins last night.
Chris, I sent a text to Cakes last night about 6:45 when I found out that Backe was not going to play. He was a scratch. I said, Cakes, we're cooked. No Backe. We're starting some guy named Walker I've never heard of. Boyd's playing. All these young guys who with no playoff experience. I said, we're done.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, how wrong was I? Because the young guys showed some energy. Walker was moving all over the place. Mm-hmm. And you couple that with Verana and Stephenson. You mentioned Stephenson, the way he played. I mean, those four young guys, mix them in with the vets, with the playoff experience. It was a good mix.
It's amazing, Jason, right? Like, we're all in our mid-40s, somewhere around there,
right.
Whatever it is. I mean, upper. We all know we all know that, you know, we don't have the legs that we used to, and you know that everything hurts a little bit more. These guys come in and they just fly around. And you mentioned Nathan Walker. I mean, he sets up that first goal to Alex Chiasson, who, by the way, I thought Alex Chiasson start to finish last night was probably the best Capital, quite honestly. And it's not just because he scored the first goal. He had a bunch of chances. He was flying all over the ice, creating things. But Nathan Walker swoops around the net, sets up that first goal, had another couple of chances. First Australian-born NHL player to play in a playoff game, get a point, so on and so forth. And Travis Boyd, there was one sequence where he won a couple of face-offs against Crosby. He was out there on the power play early in the first period. You know, Barry at one point, I want to say it was end of regulation. I could be wrong on this, where Sullivan put out the Crosby line, so the one line, and Barry did not counter with a typical one-line matchup. He kept the fourth line out there, and you had Boyd, Beagle, and guys like that out there, and they countered, won the faceoff deep in the Cavs' defensive zone, and pushed forward and actually got a scoring chance, which I think resulted in a Boyd chance and then an Orlov chance after that. So, I mean, the Caps truly have become not only a youthful, energetic, and speedy transition team, but they've also become a resourceful and a deep team where they get all these weird chances from all over the place, and they're not just dependent on one unit and one guy to score. I mean, think about it, right? Ovechkin didn't score. He had a terrible game four, did not score in game five. He had an assist and a couple of good chances. He had the game-winning assist last night, did not score, and they won this series without Backstrom for much of the last two games, without Tom Wilson for the last three, and without Burakovsky.
Yep.
Think about that.
No, it's great.
What do you think about the chances of Backstrom and Burakovsky playing in the next game?
Well, so Backstrom tried to play last night. Barry was, you know, I thought when we talked to Barry on Sunday at Kettler, I thought Backstrom was not going to play last night. Everyone else thought he was, you know, going to play, and I was like, guys, he sounded pretty concerned. So now that game one will be Friday, I would think he'll be able to go on Friday, maybe in a limited capacity. Maybe they won't have him take draws or that type of thing. Maybe he'll be again limited, and maybe they hold him off for game two. I don't know. Looks like Burakovsky, who got back to skating, may be able to return. Again, game one might be a little bit too early. Game two might be right on target. I would think probably and almost definitively by game three back at Capital One Arena. So, and Wilson, of course, comes now off the suspension because, of course, he, you know, hit the final three games of this series. So they get him back, and that allows you, again, to move Stevenson back to wherever you want to move him, presumably to that two line, because he was playing up on the one line last night. So it allows you to reunite a very successful line so far, presuming that Backstrom comes back, of Backstrom, Oshie, and Stevenson, if you get, well, when you get Wilson back for game one against Tampa. And trust me, guys, and John Cooper is a terrific head coach. That Tampa Bay team is going to give the Capitals,
I bet,
all sorts of fits.
So if Wilson and Backy are back for game one, what spots are they taking? Whose spots are they taking?
Well, I mean, presumably Nathan Walker and Travis Boyd would be the first two guys.
Right.
Down, and that's okay. I mean, listen, they understand. They get it. Boyd, again, both of them did their role more than fine last night. You know, I would say this, you know, like, look, Shane Gersich got benched last night. He played in game five. He's got to, look, this is the good thing about the Capitals for everybody that's been bemoaning the lack of talent in their system. Oh, they don't have anybody because they've traded away. Look, do they have any studs coming up through the system? Probably not. But they've got some resourceful, gritty kids that are starting to kind of scratch the surface and be able to contribute to a championship contender, is what I would say. Are they perfect? No. Are they studs? No. But you start to see how they can contribute when they need them the most. And that's, you know, just sometimes how you, again, just kind of, again, scratch the surface a little bit and make these contributions. And that's what's different about this Capitals team. I've been saying this all year. They have a certain resolve. They have a killer instinct at times, like they showed Saturday night. I mean, I can go on and on and on about this, guys. Think about this real quickly. I hate to keep rambling. Game six is on the road, right? They closed out Philadelphia a couple of years ago on the road, game six. Toronto last year, game six. They won a game six to save their season in Pittsburgh last year. They closed out Columbus game six, first round this year, and won game six last night on the road. Game six, road Warriors, all to close out series. That tells you a little something about the about the makeup of this team. Sure, they've struggled game sevens at home. That tells you a little something about the makeup of this team.
Yeah. I'd rather them play a big game on the road than at home. That's what I'd rather.
I think a lot of people would. I, for one, am thankful we don't have to go to Capital One Arena tomorrow.
Yes, I think we all are. Rooster, thanks as always.
Thanks,
we'll talk to you again soon. Chris Russell.
Enjoy.
At RussellMania621 on your Twitters. Tampa may be a tough team. Let's worry about them on Thursday or Friday.
Not today.
Today's not the day for that.
I think today's the day you celebrate.
Today and maybe bleeding into tomorrow.
That shot of Ovi, it was just a huge sense of relief. More relief than like joy, it seemed like.
Oh, I think for a lot of the guys,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Especially him.
Makes sense.
For the young guys, pure joy. For the guys that have had the monkey on the back.
Relief. I mean, he's taken criticism for years that he can't get to the Eastern Conference Finals. He's finally there.
Right. Yep.
So you got to give him credit for
that. How long has he been
up
with the Caps? How many years has it been now? Like 13, 14
Ovi?
Years? Yeah.
I think he was drafted
12 or 13, yeah.
04?
Right. So it's been like 20 years for the organization.
It's nice he got the assist. I would have liked to have seen him score because they keep saying he's never scored an overtime playoff goal.
Right. Still, he's had a pretty damn good playoffs. I think he had 15 points in 12 games.
I think he had 7 in the series.
Doing his thing. I thought it was a brilliant pass to Kuz, just laid it up there perfectly for him. And then it was up to him to please effing score. And he did.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cakes Auville. Donning which jersey, Cakes?
Replica Herzig, no name on the back.
Oh, it's a nothing? It's a blank?
Sorry, man.
But you're still rocking the red.
I'm rocking the red, and I have my St. Paddy's Day themed caps green lid, of course. Okay. I felt a little bad wearing the number replica.
Eric Bickles here. Good Jason morning. Bishop's here.
I feel bad I don't have my caps jersey on. I wore it yesterday.
I thought
yesterday.
You'd be my brother in arms here.
I wore
today.
It yesterday. I felt like it was just okay. Dirt
too
ballish.
Much.
Dirt ballish if I wore it 2 days in a row. Right. Although I wore these pants 2 days in a row.
I do that all the time.
Maybe I should. Maybe tomorrow I'll wear it.
All right, join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline to give us some more insight, maybe look ahead to Tampa, is Greg Wyshynski, ESPN senior NHL writer. What's up, Greg?
Greg, how are you?
Dude, I've been on the road now for like 3 weeks. If it's a sin to wear the same pair of pants 2 days in a row, I'm in deep trouble. I'm going straight to hell.
You're exactly. Guilty. Guilty is charged.
This might standard. Be too much information. I'm guessing you don't wear your pants like Jason. He's got no protection.
Yeah, he rides
straight. He's commando.
I don't wear any undies.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay, there is a protective layer place at all times. So there is a slight difference there. Absolutely. All right, so
this is a celebratory day here in D.C., friend.
Yeah. Caps fans wanted to rip their pants off last night when Cousy put the puck past Matt Murray for the game winner. I mean, it was bedlam here in D.C.
What a play by Cousy to poke the puck there, yep. Get the steal, and then get the game winner. Man,
great pass by Ovi, I thought.
Great pass by Ovi. It was just a great play all around.
Yeah, it was awesome. And you think the celebration in D.C. was something, you should have heard the celebration of the Caps room. We were waiting outside for upwards of like 15 minutes to get inside because of all the hollering and screaming and hugging and high-fiving that was going on. You know, you mentioned Ovechkin there, and to me, obviously, that's the big takeaway from this series and from last night. 7 points in six games. He sets up Kuznetsov's game winner. He sets up Verona's game winner. He scores a game winner of his own. In game two, he scores a minute 27 into the game. I mean, this is the guy, if you've been a critic of Ovechkin, this is the guy you've been waiting for. The numbers have always been there. The only criticism I gave any mind to was the idea that sometimes his goals weren't scored at the biggest moment, as they are for other players. There's absolutely no question that the difference this time is that he's making his plays when they matter the most. And I don't think it's any coincidence that this is the time in which the Capitals break through.
All right, what was your feeling? I know we had you on a couple of weeks ago. Going into the playoffs, I'll just give you mine. I thought that they would win round one, right? And then eventually, of course, lose to the Penguins like they always do. I felt very difficult to get excited. But I started to change my feeling when they came back in round one the way they did. When they won four in a row, all of a sudden I said, wow, wait a second. You know, it seemed to all change as soon as they put Holtby in there, right? Just the tonic that they needed. And I really felt like they were going to beat the Penguins. What was your thought process heading into the playoffs? And did it change after the way they responded in the first round?
No, I mean, the first round's the first round. We've seen this team win the first round a billion times and not win in the second round. So nothing that happened in the first round was giving
me
any kind of
dead. I mean, they'll lose the first two on the road like that. As Cake said, they were dead. They were a corpse in the Potomac.
Well, yeah, it's because their coach made an idiotic decision and didn't start the best postseason goalie in franchise history, arguably, in the first two games of the series. But that's neither here nor there. The second round is where it's at, and where I started to become convinced of this thing was probably, I would say, game three. Okay. You know, to the win in the manner in which they won on the road, you're like, okay, you know, this wasn't simply this was a clutch play in their building against a team that knew that they could really take control of the series potentially with a win in game three. But you know, to me, I became more convinced of this thing the more I watched the Penguins and watched Phil Kessel be absolutely invisible and see Chris Letang play spectacularly bad hockey and see Matt Murray be the lesser to Braden Holtby, and on and on and on. And also, you know, recognizing that their gas tank was finally flashing on empty because of all the hockey they played in the last 2 years. And as we watched that overtime last night, and Kuznetsov making the play and making it happen, seeing the drain on this Penguins team of the guys that have tormented the Capitals through the years, Kunitz, Bonino, Cullen, all these guys that did make a play when they needed it, you know, now they're waiting around for, you know, Tom Kunackel to make a play instead. And I think that was one of the big material changes for this team as well.
Greg, were you beside yourself like a lot of Caps fans were earlier in the game when Cousy had the puck like 2 feet away from Murray? He sprawled on the ice. He has 80% of the net to shoot at, and he inexplicably brings the puck back behind the net, taking himself out of the play. That's why I was so happy that he got the game winner, that he botched a really good scoring opportunity earlier, but he cashed in when it really mattered.
And botched is the word. I actually asked Kuznetsov about that after the game, and I'm like, what was that about? Like, did you just not have an angle on Murray? And he's like, honestly, I was trying to make a pass. And he's like, in hindsight, I probably should have shot the puck. I'm like, yeah, that's probably a good decision. You know, like, but you can see he's trying to bring it behind the net to try to find someone else to make the play. But, yeah, listen, Kuznetsov was also amazing in this series. And you know, it was funny. If you think back to it, his rookie season, he had that incredible playoff run. He had that one game against the Islanders where he made that video game move to score a goal out of the corner of the off the half boards. And then he had, like, a disappointing postseason. And then rallied back. He's been someone who's been inconsistent too through the years, and to see him come up big and to see that line come up big in overtime last night was ultimately satisfying.
Hey, Greg, can you clarify what happened after Game 4 when you tweeted something about Backstrom claiming saying something about, like, F this league or something, and the Caps were very upset that said that wasn't the full story? What happened there?
Yeah, he came off the ice, he threw a stick, he said F this league, and then the Capitals tried to pretend he didn't.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's basically what he said. I mean, if you want to know how it went,
yeah.
I was standing there with four other other people. I was standing there with a bunch of other people that identified that was Backstrom. The Capitals confirmed later on that it was Backstrom who threw a stick and cursed. It was the only voice we heard the entire time we were down there, and four of us all heard the same thing. So they pushed back on it. It happens, you know. They obviously didn't want to get Nicky in trouble with the NHL for any reason in case they wanted to, you know, talk to him or something about the about saying something like that. But it was said, and it was done. And that was it?
You know, did you have a conversation with them afterwards? Like, how?
Yeah,
does that...
I asked him why he was upset, and he just said because we lost the game, and because they only scored one goal against the Penguins, and that, you know, you can only score, you know, you have to score more than one goal against the Penguins. But I asked him about it in the locker room afterwards.
Yeah, but then when the Caps call you out on that, then do you have a conversation with the Caps PR team?
Well, yeah. I mean, actually, I would say we haven't actually had a face-to-face about it since then. But we texted each other for most of the night, you know, with them claiming that that he didn't say it, and me saying he completely did, and having other people having reported it. But it happens. I used to be in PR. This is how it works. You occasionally have to push back on things, even if they're true.
Right.
And I don't hold it against them. It's not the first time it's ever happened.
We're joined by Greg Wyshynski, ESPN senior NHL writer, and you wrote about kind of the monkey coming off the back of Ovi, 1,003 regular season games, 109 playoff games, and he finally gets to the Eastern Conference Finals. But even beyond that is Coach Barry Trotz with 1,524 regular season games and 101 playoff games to finally get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Talk about how big it is for both of those guys.
It's incredible. And, you know, Trotz talked about the kinship he had with some of the players in this team, with Ovechkin, with Backstrom, with other guys that had never ventured their way to a conference final round before, and because he was in the same boat. And, you know, I thought he had a real strong series. And you know, Barry's one of these guys that you can point to, just like Boudreau before him, and say that the majority of his playoff series that he has taken part in, he's not been the better coach in those series. But in this go-round, I thought he outcoached Mike Sullivan, which is pretty remarkable when you consider Sullivan's success with that team. The line moves he made, the smart decisions he made, the, you know, putting Varana up in the second period of Game 5, that obviously led to all of the offense in the third period of that game. He did a really, really good job. Outside of that Grubauer thing in the first two games of the first round, which we talked about last time, which I just still think was inexcusable, he had a masterful job, I thought, in the Penguins series of manipulating lines and motivating guys and knowing which buttons to push.
Greg, do you have any skinny on the relationship between Caps GM Brian McClellan and Barry Trotz? Trotz coaching at this point without a deal going into next season. There's a lot of tension in D.C. as far as that's concerned. Do you have any details on that relationship?
You know, I don't. And I've the only detail that I have, the only insight that I have on Trotz is that I've heard from some people that, you know, the decision's ultimately going to be his. You know, he doesn't have a contract for next year, and you know, there might be other opportunities out there. There's been scuttlebutt around the league that if Paul Fenton, the assistant general manager for the Nashville Predators, ends up getting the top job with the Minnesota Wild, that there could be a reunion there because Fenton and Trotz worked together in Nashville. And that's sort of the, you know, old boys network whispers that you usually hear when someone's up for a gig. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, it clearly, the further this team pushes in the postseason, it does make life a little bit more interesting for Trotz, not only in the opportunities that he might have to stay here, but also in the amount of money he might get someplace else if he wins a cup.
All right, so fill us in on Tampa. We don't know that much about the Lightning. The Caps were 1-1-1 against them in the regular season. Who are their standout players? What do we expect from Tampa?
They're really good. You know, Steven Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov are probably two names that you know, and that line is as potent as they come. And Kucherov's shown some shades of his game we hadn't seen before. He played a little nasty in that Devil series, and he's a bit more physical, I think, as time's gone on. He's become a more well-rounded player. But the real key line of this team, at least in that Boston series, is one involving Braden Point, Tyler Johnson, and Andre Palat. If you remember the triplets line from a few years ago with Lightning, Johnson and Palat were two-thirds of that line. They were matched up against the Patrice Bergeron line with Boston, which is arguably the best line in hockey, and they got absolutely torched in game one, but then they rallied, and if they didn't outplay him, they at least played him evenly throughout the rest of that series. So that's the heartbeat line right now for the Lightning. But on top of that, you've got the other interesting story about the team is you've got a slew of ex-Rangers on the team. Ryan McDonough and Anton Strahlman and Dan Girardi and JT Miller and Ryan Callahan. Bunch of guys that Capital fans may know from previous playoff battles during the John Tortorella years in New York. And now you have a slew of those guys with playoff experience on that roster, too. Very, very good team. Very, very tough out. And it's going to be a hell of a challenge to sober up after these celebrations over the Penguins' victory and get ready for a really, really good hockey team.
Greg, are they faster than Pittsburgh?
Yeah, they're fast. Not only are they faster than Pittsburgh, they're also fresher than Pittsburgh. Keep this in mind, too. They won their first few series in five games apiece.
Right. Right.
So they've been on the sidelines resting up, and they're going to be raring to go against the Capitals team that, you know, it was six games. It wasn't a lot of overtime or anything like that, but it was definitely hard hockey against the Penguins.
Greg, you tweeted this 8 hours ago at Wyshynski on Twitter. Path one, Caps make Stanley Cup final, face George McPhee's Golden Knights with Marc-Andre Fleury. Path two, Capitals make Stanley Cup final, face David Poyle's Nashville Predators with Philip Forsberg. No matter the path, we all win. So if they're able to get past the Lightning, they're going to face, you know, you mentioned all the old Rangers on the Tampa team. There's going to be a lot of Caps ties if they face one of those two teams in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, that tweet just ended up pissing off a lot of Winnipeg fans, really. You know, we're like, what about us?
Right.
No, like the way I usually see these playoff things rolling out is I always try to figure out what would be the storyline of the Blu-ray commemorative thing that they put out for the team's Cup victory, right? And like, how perfect would it be to have the Capitals against either of those teams in the Cup final if they actually make it there, especially if it's the Knights, because now on top of the Knights trying to win a Cup in their inaugural season, you have their architect being McPhee. And then, like I said, I mean, if you want to completely slay the dragon, well, one of the heads of the dragon is still lying in Vegas, and that's Marc-Andre Fleury, who was instrumental in these Penguins' victories over the Capitals, and I guess probably was a name I should have mentioned earlier as far as that roster turnover as well. Because I got a feeling like with the way Murray played in this series, he had a 908 save percentage overall. We probably would have seen Marc-Andre Fleury at some point in the series to change the momentum, and the fact that he wasn't there was another big factor on why it was different this time.
Greg, you touched on Winnipeg. Why does the entire crowd wear white, yet they wear blue jerseys at home? I don't understand the whiteout. Can you explain it to me?
Well, yeah, because the whiteout started in the early 2000s, or I'm sorry, the early 1990s, maybe even before that, when the Jets were there the first time before they moved to Arizona. And back then, you wore white jerseys at home, so it was a whiteout. And, you know, I've long said that amongst my endless complaints about the National Hockey League and their thought processes, you know, the good guys wear white and the bad guys wear black, and that's a classic trope through centuries in popular culture. And I've never understood the idea that the home team needs to wear solid jerseys. It makes no sense to me, but that's the origin of it. It's back in the day when the home team wore white jerseys. That's why the Winnipeg Jets do that thing.
Okay, Greg, it makes sense now.
Greg, will you be at game one in Tampa?
That's the plan. I'd like to get home and see my dog for at least a day and then head down to Tampa for game one. And you know, it's going to be a blast. You know, the Tampa experience as far as the fan experience is incredible. That's a really good hockey town now. You know, and it's grown exponentially, and it's going to be a great series. I picked Tampa to make the Cup final and lose to the Predators. But then again, I also picked against the Capitals in this series, so I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, so anything can go.
The last time we played them in the playoffs, they swept our ass. So hopefully that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, I'm really happy for Tampa. They've been in the league for 10 minutes. They already have a cup. The Caps have been here since the early 70s and haven't sniffed one. It's great.
Well, if you got a problem with that, you're going to love this Vegas team. The other thing too is that I really hope the Caps acquit themselves well and they don't, you know, like I said, I hope there isn't a hangover. The last thing I want for this team is for them to finally beat the Pittsburgh Penguins, finally get past the second round, finally play for a conference championship, and then they go out meekly, and then the rest of the league is making beat the Penguins in round two banner jokes.
Yeah.
You know, that's the last thing you want for this team.
Yeah, we all agree.
All right thank Greg. You, Greg. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, boys.
All right, good stuff.
Greg Wyshynski from ESPN.
That's a good point. I mean, to beat the Pens, I know we're all on cloud nine, mm-hmm. but then if you go in and lose to Tampa in 4 or 5,
yeah, it would be ugly.
That would really suck.
Yeah. Caps advance to the Eastern Conference Finals by beating the Pittsburgh Penguins in 6 games. It's been a long road for the Caps. Many playoff disappointments for Alex Ovechkin and company. Just going back to 2008-2009 season, the Caps racked up over 100 points and went 108 on the season, lost in the conference semis to the Pens in 7 games. The next year, the Caps rack up 121 points during the regular season, win the Southeast, lose the Canadiens in the first round.
Yeah.
Following year, Caps get 107 points during the regular season, win 4-1 in the first round, so you feel good going into round two, swept by the Tampa Bay Lightning. Swept in 4 games. The next year, they win.
Did the Lightning win the Cup that year?
That was not the year they won the Cup.
Oh, okay.
Next year, the Caps win a grueling first-round series against the Bruins in 7, then lose to the Rangers again in 7 games in the second round. Following year, lose to the Rangers in 7 in the first round. 2013-14, didn't make the playoffs. Back in 2014-15, finished 2nd in the Metro, out in the second round against the Rangers in 7 games. By the way, after being tested by the Islanders in 7 games in the first round.
Mm.
I mean, it's just
disappointment. And then the Penguins' disappointments the last 2 years.
15-16, 16-17, out in the second round of the Pens. The first year in 6 games, last year in 7.
Well, I think for now, at least for a while, we can't say same old Caps. Because that's been the narrative year after year after year.
Right, it's been win-lose. This year was win-win.
Win the first round, out in the second round. Finally through to the third round. Hopefully they can get past the Lightning. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be tough. It's been the top team in the East all season long. So if they can somehow silence that offense like they did with the Pens, you know, everybody's talking about how the Pens were lighting up the Flyers in the first round. Maybe the defense and the combination of Holtby playing at the top of his game is enough to get it done.
Tampa was first in the league in goals for. They were the third best power play unit. If they have a weakness, it's their penalty kill, which was 28th in the league.
The thing is like as I'm watching the game unfold last night, and the refs were swallowing the whistle, mm-hmm. and apparently this is sort of standard in the NHL playoffs as the series progresses. You know, you get less of that. How can you sort of force more power plays? You know, how can you do that? Because I know I was screaming.
I knew the magic formula.
I know I was screaming last night. We need to get on a friggin' power play.
Right.
We need to get Ovi freed up somehow. But I just don't know how you force that. I really
it kind of reeks of desperation that you're grasping at a power play.
Yeah. Well, and that's what this team has.
I mean, it's ideal to have one.
That's what this team has thrived on.
Well, so did the Penguins. Yeah. Penguins were thriving on their power play as well, so they didn't get a ton, especially in last night's game.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it screeps. Maybe it does.
Statistically, Tampa has a better power play than the Caps.
Do they give you a lot of power plays?
I don't know the total.
I'm guessing they're probably pretty disciplined.
They might like get. Percentage. They might be better, but I'm assuming we're better on the penalty kill because you said they were poor on that. So
these are regular season stats.
It's fine. So we might still be net ahead on that if we're better on the kill, and maybe they're slightly better on the power play themselves. I just wish I knew how to create those opportunities.
You're going to see a lot more games like last night with the power plays. When you get maybe one, maybe
two.
Yeah,
you would think.
You're not going to get
the days
four or five
of seven or eight power plays.
Unless
in
it's just really
game,
sloppy.
Yeah. I wouldn't expect to see that going forward.
I felt
forward.
Like we saw that earlier in the series. Certain games. We were chock full of penalties.
Especially in the Columbus series. There were boatload of penalties.
Willie
in that
was good for two penalties every game. Right. Ovi was giving him one or two a game.
Yeah.
It might also be a situation, yes, the referees swallow their whistle, but also as it gets closer and it becomes elimination games where the players are not as reckless with their sticks.
Could be. Could be.
Man, Tampa's won a cup and they've been to the cup finals twice.
Right.
I know. It's annoying. It's annoying to see teams that have come into the league way after the Caps, like the Tampa Bay Lightning, like the Carolina Hurricanes.
They won the cup and they lost, and they've been to the cup. They lost the cup to Chicago in 14-15.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they've been twice.
Right.
Now, did they have, I know they had the best record in the Eastern Conference. Did they have the best record in hockey? No, Nashville did, or at least the most points. Nashville had the most points. They had 113. The Lightning and Nashville had 117.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-636-1067. You want to call us on the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines as we celebrate the Caps advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Chris, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Chris.
Hey,
I want to,
Chris.
Caps, amazing win. But EB,
yes, sir.
I got to take you to task.
Okay.
You said in 2012, and I quote, Ovechkin should be traded. He's done. He is, you know, overrated, the whole deal. And then last year you said,
yeah,
and I quote,
I'm not even sure I said that, but if you say I did, I'll take your word
era,
for it.
An end of an era, okay? And then the Titanic music played, all these things.
Yeah.
EB, you're the biggest homer
right.
of all the junkies, okay?
Right.
But it makes me furious that
right.
you can celebrate with all of us Caps fans. When you have literally said these things, I'm going to take you to task, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you can say whatever you want.
Chris, why?
Hey, it was the end of an era, and it started anew this year.
Chris, you are being a hockey snob / elitist. You should not do that. Hockey is still a borderline niche sport in the United States.
Here's what I know.
I should welcome everybody.
I know I called Ovi fat, right? I know that.
No, wait a second. Wait, EB.
Yeah.
You literally said a couple of years, 2012, as a matter of fact,
sure.
you said,
okay, 6 years ago,
Ovi should be traded. You
right.
said it on your show.
Okay.
And I'm sure
I don't remember that,
you
but
know,
if you say it, I'll believe you because I, it doesn't bother me. If you say I said that, I believe you.
At some point over 22 years, we've said outrageous things like that.
Yeah,
I'm sure
it's kind of my bit.
Casey
yeah.
probably
maybe,
said it too.
Maybe it would have been traded for Sidney Crosby and been better off.
Yeah, I'm sure that's
hypothetical.
Sure
you don't know.
Whatever trade
right.
Sidney Crosby.
But
right.
we can still be happy for their success this year.
I mean, yeah. if you want to just sort of singularly celebrate the victory on your own because you never doubted, I mean, I guess you could do that. But
are
I mean,
you
I think,
are you being honest when you, and you never doubted this team? You never doubted Ovi? Come on.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah.
You probably said Chris, the same things to your buddies.
Chris, this is the deal. Last year when we were saying it was the end of an era, it was because the expectations based on the salary cap was that that team was going to lose some key parts.
And
they
did
lose some key parts.
They did.
Now they were able to bring back Ovi and Backe and to our surprise, TJ Oshie. Because a lot of people assumed TJ Oshie was going to be gone, as well as Shattenkirk, as well as Carl Alsner, and the rest of
what
them.
What a dud. Yeah. Oh, I just can't remember. The Shattenkirk era.
Yeah.
Ugh,
right.
Gross.
Yeah, it was the end of the Shattenkirk
right, anyways,
era.
I appreciate everything. Today's a big day in Washington, D.C. sports history. But I just want to be, you know, take, you know, sometimes I got to.
You're upset.
You know,
yeah, you're a fun six, person,
seven,
Chris.
Guys.
You're such a fun person to
EB,
hang out with.
EB is the homer. Yeah, he's Mr. DC, but I remember being furious at the radio when
right.
you were like, you know,
well,
he
good.
Was like, you know what?
Well, good.
Screw him, get him out of here, and then here we are.
Right.
You know, so.
Didn't Cakes say
I
some,
love you guys.
Didn't Cakes
Great
say some
win.
Things like
yeah,
that,
are you
too?
Upset with Cakes? He said they
Cakes
were...
is a bigger Caps fan than Bickle is.
Well, hold on. And Cakes, but I'm overall a DC guy.
Right. I think the Caps are basically,
I mean, DOA.
You know what they are? They're a floater in the Potomac.
Right. You call
that's
them a floater.
Well, they didn't look that way after
so,
the first two games.
You don't have a problem with
they
that.
They did. Everyone agreed with you. But you're not upset with Cakes for saying that they were dead just 3 weeks ago?
Well, Cake is more likable. So,
okay. All right. I don't want to argue that.
Got a point.
I'm not
going
to argue that. All right. Thank you, Chris.
You know, why can't we all just be one big Caps community today? Why can't we just be happy that the Caps have gone further than they've gone in the last 20 years?
Someone needs to tell Chris that people are going to have hot sports takes and they're going to be wrong sometimes.
Right. It happens with everybody.
There isn't a single Caps fan that hasn't been frustrated with the team, that hasn't thought it was over, that Ovechkin was overrated, they were never going to break. There isn't a single fan listening that hasn't thought that at times. We just have the ability to verbalize it and everyone can hear it.
Yes, and you are the most vocal of the hosts in there, but at the beginning of the playoffs, like you have the last few years, you always say, I'm not getting invested, I won't do it, and then when they prove you wrong, you come here and say, play the music.
Right.
Let's go. I knew it.
Right.
No, like Chumbawamba.
But I did tell you at the beginning of the playoffs, I said, it's difficult to get excited because they're going to win the first round and probably lose to the Penguins like they do every year. But then after the way they came back, go to the tape. I said, I think they're going to beat the Penguins.
Can you put it always?
Can't you just react as life occurs?
I've said this for a long time. Why do we always have to nitpick what a fan is, what it means to be a fan? Who cares? Let people just enjoy it. Whether they're a fan who watches every game during the regular season, whether they know all the players, it doesn't matter.
Right. Do you have
just
my
be
a guy? Fan?
There's just emotional, normal reactions.
Listen to the kid from Finland, he's probably the biggest Caps fan on the planet. This is my guy. This is his reaction to the Kuzi game winner.
I can't believe there's a Caps fan that big of a Caps fan in Helsinki.
I mean, he looks like he's watching it in like an ice fishing shack that AWOT
decorated.
Can't
even believe what he's seeing. I mean, is he watching it on his phone?
Do we have a Finnish player?
There's
on
a
the
reflection
Caps?
Of it of the TV.
Is Verona from
the
Finland?
Window. I believe Verona's from Czech Republic.
Oh. Is there he's a Finnish player?
I don't think so.
The closest would be Swedes.
He's just a Finnish kid. He looks like he's 20 that loves the Caps.
Oh, Caps gear everywhere. It's great.
He's a Caps boy.
If you translate it, he says, you are wrong, EB. You are wrong, EB. You are wrong, EB.
Fish Cakes, EB, and JP. That's the foursome. Taking calls on the Hadid Carb Clean Listener Line at 800-636-1067. Trying to track down Brent Johnson. He'll join us shortly. Caps studio analyst on NBC Sports Washington. Cakes, when you have off nights, like the last month, you've had Caps and Wizards, and you have your two or three beers every night watching your favorite local teams.
Correct.
And now the last week or so, it's been just the Caps, and you had your three beers last night. When it's an off night, sans beer?
No. Why would I stop drinking beer just because the Caps aren't playing? Are you crazy? Hmm. Did you fall and hit your head this morning?
So it's nothing even special to have beer during a game if you're just having the same amount every night, no matter what.
I just think it's funny that Cakes actually briefly thought about going to MGM last night at 11 o'clock at night.
For a fleeting second, I had that thought. And then I thought, well, that's crazy.
Because you figured I'm just not going to get any sleep anyway. I might as well just go to MGM and see
Flops. That any sleep that I would get would be restless and horrible and terrible, which ultimately it was. Because, I mean, I was flipping and flopping all over the place.
Just with excitement.
Yeah, I guess. Or just, I just have issues sleeping. I don't know.
Took a nap earlier in the day.
I did take a nap. So yeah, it's kind of pummeled me.
Plus, you have tons of caffeine throughout the day.
So much.
Did you consider victory buns? Did you consider that? Or
it's
were the kids
late.
All?
It's kind of late. I mean, at that point, it's 11 o'clock. I mean, my wife has to wake up.
Going to take you forever?
What
you
no, gonna... not really. But at that point, I just wasn't thinking about it. Right. I was thinking about getting to sleep.
Right.
That's what I was thinking about.
Right. But that just helps, though.
I know. I understand.
Right.
It's usually a good method.
Right, it's the worst feeling on weekends when you realize you've done, like, on Saturday night, I stayed up just a ridiculous amount of time.
We stayed till like two in the morning?
Right around 2, maybe even 2:30. And it was, I had soda with my dinner, which I never
have.
I can't
even comprehend doing that.
And I watched, like, the Triple G fight, which was late, and it was, like, 1 in the morning. Then I guess I had missed the previous episode of Billions, and I didn't watch it, the week before, so then I stayed up to watch that whole episode. Next thing you know, it was like 2 in the morning, and I was like, I'm going to have to wake up in 2.5 hours.
Triple
a day from
G
now.
Could come fight Mike Tyson in my basement, and I don't think I'd go down and watch. Certainly not.
I can't
two
believe
in the
you're
morning.
Up until two. That's incredible.
It was a 5 minute fight.
Wow. If you
he
say
completely
so.
Destroyed
you know what? That
the
was
sky.
5 minutes too long.
All right, let's bang out some of these calls. A lot of people still fired up trying to track down Brent Johnson, of course, from NBC Sports Washington. Let's go to, let me see here. Let's go to our guy, Cowboy Ty. Cowboy, what's up, buddy?
Oh, what a great game. It was worth getting hung over last night. Hey, Cakes, I told you right before overtime, I texted you, buddy. We had this in OT.
Is Cowboy Ty texting you throughout the game?
He has my phone
number.
Did
you respond?
I got a random text. I wasn't sure who it was from, and then later I realized it was Cowboy Todd. Right. I should have known because I'm sure there was misspellings and poor grammar all over the text.
Oh, yeah. I was drunk going through my phone. I was like, who can I text this late? And then your name popped up. I was like, oh, I forgot I had your number.
So great.
Great game, though.
So it's not a regular thing where Cowboys texting you during catch kicks.
No,
right?
It's like a one-off. But thank God.
It might become a regular thing.
If you made it a regular thing, Cowboy, that would please
hey,
me.
Hey, you know what, though? If the Caps keep winning, keep texting me, Cowboy Todd.
Now, did Cowboy Todd with his lovely author wife, did you have Caps buns?
Victory buns last night, Cowboy?
I did. I woke her up. Actually, our youngest son went to the bed, drug him out of there, and then just attacked it. She was like, what are you doing? The Caps won. The Caps won.
She probably tied you to like a hockey stick and did naughty things to you.
So you had to score too. All right, good stuff. Thank you, Cowboy.
All right, fellas. I'll text you later, Cakes.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, his wife is into the literatica. Right. She's like a Cakes, like a published
you,
author.
Do you she'd respond be able to, wake her. To text like to numbers that you don't recognize?
I'll say who is this. I got a new phone.
Sometimes I'll do that, but sometimes I'll just.
But I feel kind of like a jerk if I say who is this.
Well, you just
but
say
if it's
I
a
got
random
a new
number
phone.
That I don't recognize. Then
you say you got a new phone.
Sometimes I just tend to ignore them.
I like to play the guess. I like to play the guess who it is game. So I'll respond with kind of a general question, like "How you doing?" And I'll try and fish
you're
for information.
To figure, you're playing games with yourself.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Well, you don't have to play games with our next guest. Is Brent Johnson, former Caps goalie. Of course, you can hear him on and see him on NBC Sports Washington.
And a former Pens goalie, too. He's been on both sides.
You weren't torn last night, were you, Brent?
I was not torn. This city needs a winner, and I was very, very happy. I was watching the game. I didn't do the game on the air. So I was watching in the company of friends, and everyone was pumped and excited. This is a strange feeling for Capitals fans, but one that we all really needed.
Hey, Brent, you played with Malkin and Crosby, correct, when you were in Pittsburgh?
Yes, I did.
Are those guys nice guys? Are they good dudes?
They're great dudes. I mean, yeah.
Because we hate them. We hate them in Washington.
I know. You know what? You're gonna be hard-pressed to find any, or many, I should say, hockey players that are... that aren't good guys.
Right.
The hockey players are usually, kind of salt of the earth kind of guys. So for the most part, yeah, everyone's cool. Everyone's different, obviously. But if you're on their team, you love them. If you're playing against them, you hate them.
Were you ever invited to Sidney Crosby's house?
Of course.
What's his house like?
You're coveting now. You're in covet mode.
I don't know. He's got a new house. Back in the day, he was living kind of in Mary Lemieux's guest house for a little while.
Uh-huh, that's funny.
Yeah. But he recently purchased a new home. I think a couple new homes. But no, I mean, I'm telling you, you got to, if you play with someone, you're gonna end up liking them.
Right.
And you know, if any of those guys, look at Brooks Orpik, look at Matt Niskanen, as a Caps fan, you're not, when they play against you, you don't like them.
Right.
And when they're here, man, you like them, even though Brooks, he gets a lot of crap still, but, I love him. I love him as a player. I love Matt Niskanen as a player as well.
Brent, you're a goalie by trade. Why has Braden Holtby been so good in the playoffs when he struggled during the regular season? He's got a 2.04 goals against. He's got a save percentage a tick above 92, where he was at 0.907 during the regular season. Why has he been so good during this playoff stretch. The only goalie playing better than him right now is Marc-Andre Fleury for Vegas.
Yes. And you know what? They're two totally different games, right, that Vegas plays and the Capitals play. So I think that I have never seen – thank you very much. I've never seen Braden Holtby in such a zone. I mean, the focus, the intensity is just off the charts right now. And, I mean, what I really is depth. He, like, previous to this, his little stint here in the playoffs, he had been kind of a little too deep in his net and kind of going off his reflexes. Now he's bringing the play to the players. You know, he's aggressive, he's assertive, he's making them miss, if not making the save. So, I mean, you look at the save he made. I think it was against Hornquist late in the second period last night, and you know he makes a save with his shoulder on a save that, or a normal occasion that might have gone in because he would be sitting so back so far deep in his crease, and he just looks like he's in his zone, and he doesn't look like he's afraid to get beat at all. It's a fantastic thing to have that as a goalie. The confidence is sky high. It looks off the charts.
Put us in Matt Murray's head when he sees Cousy coming in for the game winner, and when he knows he's been beaten five hole before. Does he think that that's where he's going to go again? Take us through that process as a goalie.
Oh, I think that automatically he knew he was going to go five hole. So the problem with what Matt Murray had to deal with was that because of the speed Cousy was coming with, he has to cover, you know, the whole crease.
Mm-hmm.
So in doing so, it opens you up. And that's exactly what Cousy thought was going to happen. He's going to take it on his forehand to backhand. And because of it, and because of his speed, and because someone was chasing him, he's got to cover all that crease, and it's about 6 to 7 feet where he's got to cover with his pads down low. You know, you try and get your stick there as a goalie to you know, kind of protect the five hole, but you just can't do, because of the speed, you can't cover the whole thing. And he knew exactly what was going to happen when it happened, and there's just nothing you can do. Nothing he could do. It's great. Like, he couldn't bring his trailer pad over enough, and because of it, it's a 2-1 overtime game winner, and the Caps are going on.
Man, it feels good too, Brent. And I was talking earlier about the kind of the mix of the young guys, the faster skaters, you know, the Walkers and the Vranas, and it just seems like a good mix. You know, I'm not saying it was a blessing in disguise that Wilson was suspended. Can't say that, but the fact that these younger guys were able to play, you know, Backstrom gets hurt last night and didn't play.
Yep.
It was just a good mix of the four or five young guys with the vets.
Well, it was. You know, I know this for a fact. The Capitals are better, way better hockey team when Tom Wilson is on the ice. He provides energy and enthusiasm, and we know that. But, yeah, having those guys step in there, I mean, you think about it. I wouldn't say unsung, but the unlikely hero, you know, to me is what happened on that fourth line early in the game. They were dominant. Chiasson gets a goal, gets a feed from Walker. This is phenomenal stuff. The depth, this is why you have guys in your system that can come in and provide different things for different games. And whether it be a speed game, whether it be a heavy game, you know, the Capitals have that. And they showed that last night. I mean, you know, Chiasson getting the goal, yeah, I mean, maybe it's a goal Matt Murray wants back, but it's him doing the right things. It's him getting the puck to the net. It's him being assertive in his game, you know,
handling the puck below the line, forcing turnovers, puck retrievals. These were all things they did so well last night. And it was a very, it was just a very, kind of touch and go game last night. I mean, you saw it was, I think the shots were like 15 to 17 after the second period. Normally, it would be a lot higher. There would be a lot more shots on net, but both teams were kind of feeling each other out. They were playing a very good game in the neutral zone, so it was kind of hard to generate a ton of offense. But when the Caps needed to, they played well defensively, and their goaltender had to shine bright at times, and he did just that. So it was a the chemistry was there last night, and honestly, I'll be honest with you guys. I thought that this was going to happen. I thought Pittsburgh was going to win last night. I really did, and I'm not going to lie to anybody. Mm-hmm. I thought they were going to win last night, and I thought it was going to be a huge story that Tom Wilson was going to come back for Game 7. And, obviously all bets are off in Game 7s. Anything can happen, but it would have been – I think reporters would have really enjoyed that field day, having him come back for that game. But I like the way it happened. Now he gets to come back for Game 1 against T-Bay.
Joined by Brent Johnson, Capital Studio Analyst on NBC Sports Washington. You can watch him with our boy Grant doing Caps Overtime a lot. Talk about Tampa. Fill us in on what you know about them and how the Capitals will match up against them.
How about T-Bay?
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a faster game, obviously, with the likes of, the Johnsons and the Kucherovs. I think they're going to play a faster game. I think they have more skill than the Pittsburgh Penguins, even though that's probably hard to say with, two of the top guys that Pittsburgh has. But I really do think it's going to be a fast game. I think the Capitals are going to have to study this and figure out how to play their game. Whatever happened in the regular season, whether the Caps, I think the Caps were 1-2 against them, that goes out the window. That doesn't matter. Nobody cares about what happened in the regular season, and the game is totally different once the playoffs come. So I think that, they're going to look at tape. They're going to look at things that Tampa Bay did very well in their previous rounds and things that, they can expose from Tampa Bay. They have a good goalie, a big goalie, a guy who's not as leaky as Matt Murray was. So that's going to be more of a challenge to get pucks to the net and, force second and third opportunities on this guy. So it's going to be an exciting one. It really is. Washington hasn't seen this in a while, in 20 years, and we're all looking forward to it, I know.
All right, Brent, appreciate you joining us. Enjoy the rest of the way calling Caps games.
Thank you, Brent. Appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, gentlemen, you take care. Have a great day.
Yep. All right, you too,
thanks,
pal.
Brent.
All right, Cakes. I'm still not ready to start worried about Tampa yet.
No, worry about
and how
friggin'
skilled they are. Tomorrow I'll start to worry.
We're not even 12 hours
you
away.
You should have a celebratory cocktail at some point today. That's what you should do.
I'll do it if
we'll
you do
have
it.
Some hot cross buns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody tweeted us that his wife was listening to us or watching us. And thought that we meant cinnamon rolls.
You're kidding.
No.
Like the ones that Peter from Burke
said they're talking
this
about
morning.
Buns. Are they talking about
buns,
cinnamon
cheeks.
Rolls?
Cheeks.
Is that the same one who said my wife said I felt gypped? The guys were talking about celebration buns?
No, that wife got it.
Yeah, that guy, yeah. I said, well, you got to make it up to her today then.
Cinnamon rolls are very good, though.
Somebody brought it. Oh, Pete. Peter from Burke brought it.
Thank you.
It's our anniversary of coming down to D.C. He marks it, was it May 8th?
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
3 years. Oh, I thought he did that just because the Caps won.
3 years of paying for parking.
No, he does that bit, and he's also boycotting his calls because since he stopped calling, the Caps have been a full-on heater.
Oh, really?
That's great.
Yes.
Let's hope they win forever.
That's what I said. Can we win 10 cups in a row?
Carries over to the next season. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.